Today on Real Life Radio.
God, who knows all things, loves to hear from his kids. Listen, if you're not praying and now you are praying, then so be it, huh? God would rather hear from you in prayer than for you to have a fat job.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, I want to tell you about Just Church. It's a 100% free event on Friday, September 8th at the Honda Center in Anaheim. We'll gather as a large community of believers to just worship and to just study God's Word. You're not even going to have to pay for parking. Register now at justchurchsocal.com. That's justchurchsocal.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with the message titled, Is the Kingdom of God Near? Part 2. You know, this series we're doing on the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ, as really only Luke the physician could do. Here now, as we continue chapter 17, we'll consider God's kingdom in light of Bible prophecy. You see, a question's often asked of Jesus while he was here on earth, is the kingdom of God near? It's the question, quite frankly, that every generation seems to ask itself. The interesting thing is, the answer to this question is even broader than we may think. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that God's kingdom is of a spiritual realm, deeply personal, and not of this world. It's a kingdom that starts from the heart and then will come to the entire world. Now, with his message called, Is the Kingdom of God Near? Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
27% of your Bible that you have on your lap, over one quarter of your Bible on your lap, is dedicated to what's called eschatology. That is the study of the prophetic events of the Bible, things about the future. 27%. 82% of that 27% has already been fulfilled. What remains is what's called the time of great tribulation found in the Bible. Did you know that? Pretty amazing. Everything that needs to be fulfilled for that great tribulation period to take place has already happened. And what remains is that next step of where there'll be this time where, according to the book of Daniel, the book of Ezekiel, the book of Revelation, someone will step up out of Europe and they will have a peace plan regarding the nation of Israel, says the Bible. And it even tells you that that peace plan will be a peace plan for a 7-year duration. The Bible calls it a time of great deception. The world, the Bible says, will experience tremendous prosperity and peace, but it's a demonic prosperity and a demonic peace. And the Bible says that 3.5 years into that 7-year agreement, this man that we call the Antichrist, Mr. 666, well, the Bible talks about a man that will come and bring peace to the Middle East. Does the Middle East need peace? Yes. But there's going to be some events that bring about a great cry for peace. So is the kingdom of God near? So much of the Bible deals with Bible prophecy. We need to be asking the questions like the Pharisees did, like the disciples. In fact, the disciples in Matthew 24:3, the disciples later on will ask Jesus this series of questions. It says in verse 3, now as he, Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, here's their first question, tell us, when will these things be? Jesus talked about the events of the end of the age, the end of the world. So they said, tell us, when will these things be? Number 2, what will be the sign of your return? That's the second coming. And number 3, how will the world end? 3 questions there in Matthew 24:3. That's very, very powerful. Ask questions. That's how you learn. The disciples and even the Pharisees are asking, is the kingdom near? Well, listen, the end is not exactly near as you and I may think it is, but we are certainly getting closer to the events of what we would call the tribulation period. And what does it all mean? But we need to ask questions. Reminds me of a little boy. The little boy asked his dad, maybe you've heard this before. The little boy asked his dad, Daddy, why is grass green? And his daddy said, I don't know. So then the little boy said, well, Daddy, how is it that the moon's round like that? It's round. And the dad said, I don't know. So the little boy said, well, then, Daddy, how do birds fly? Surely you can tell me how birds fly. And his dad said, I don't know. Son, I don't know. So the little boy felt the irritation of his father, and he said, Daddy, I won't ask you any more questions. And the father said, no, my son, you need to ask questions. He said, that's how you learn things. We need to ask questions. It's very, very important. Look at last study, part one. Right now we step into part two, and I'm going to ask you to look at verse 30 down to verse 37. Is the kingdom of God near? Part two of our message, Luke 17. Even so, Jesus answers them and says, it will be in that day. You need to highlight those three words, in that day. You'll hear more about it today, but mark those words. It's code word for the events of the last days. The Hebrews say at the end of days. Your Bible calls them the last days, the end times, or in that day. In that day, he says, when the Son of Man is revealed, this is a global apocalypto, the global manifestation of the Son of God to all the world, the word revealed. In that day, verse 31, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. That's very important. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there will be two in one bed. One will be taken, the other one will be left. Two will be grinding together. One will be taken, the other one left. Two will be in the field. The one will be taken, the other one will be left. Verse 37, and they answered and said to him, where, Lord? I need you to circle that. Where, Lord? Jesus is going to answer their question as to where are they taken. And he says, wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Class, church, Bible students, remember this. When you study the Bible, in this case, Luke chapter 17, the context defines the chronology. When you read a chapter, there's a reason why things appear in the Bible as they do. It's not random. It's not haphazard. When God speaks and says something, there's a reason why you read, or we study here at Calvary, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. That's how you get a healthy grip on the Bible. How do we know what's coming next? How do we know what I should do next? Based upon context, which speaks of chronology. For example, any of you who have been involved in a cult, how do you create a cult? You take verses out of context and then build a doctrine upon it. That's how you build a cult. That's how you go crazy with religious things. You take it out of where it belongs. You take a verse or two out of the chapter and you build a belief system on it. And that's how you go astray. That's very important because the Pharisees are asking, look back at verse 20 from our last study. It says, now when the Pharisees asked him, when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. He said, well, wait a minute. I thought in that same chapter, it reads about Jesus coming and every eye will see him and it'd be like a lightning shining out of the east unto the west. Yes, that's true. But Jesus puts it in a chronological order based upon the context, meaning this, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, first of all. The kingdom of God, for example, right now, in fact, didn't Jesus say the kingdom of God abides in you? Why did he say that if the kingdom of God is coming in the second coming of Christ? Because both are the correct answers. Both are true, but one comes before another. If you were born into this world, and by the looks of you, you were once born into this world, Jesus said you must be born a second time again to get into the kingdom of heaven, right? You are all born by the flesh into this world, but to be born into the new world of Christ, of heaven forever, you've got to be born again, or let me say it this way, born twice. One must come first before the second. The kingdom of God, you and I are to invite the kingdom of God into us and thereby be a child of heaven or a child of God. That comes first. That must come now in your life. Who are you today? Do you know Christ? Does Christ know you? Those of you who know Jesus and Jesus knows you, you know it. You know that you're a child of God. To those of you who are guessing, you're not. And you need to change that today. You need to be born again, the Bible says. So first of all, the kingdom does not come with observation. It happens first inside of you. But there is a day coming, and that's what we're speaking about today, when the kingdom of God will come. Now, we looked at point one, point two, and point three last time. Now, note takers, we look at point four, verses 30 to 33. He comes in the days of the nation of Israel. The Bible says in verse 30, even so it will be in that day when the Son of Man is revealed. Verse 31, in that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. In other words, we looked at it last time, get going. We'll talk about Lot's wife in Sodom and Gomorrah in a moment. Verse 33, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it. You say, oh my goodness, Jack, the world's falling apart. What in the world's going on? Is the world coming apart at the seams? No. According to the Bible, the world is all falling into place. Did you know that? See, Pastor, it looks nuts. I understand it looks nuts. By the way, here's your homework for today. Get ready. I'm going to give you homework. You got to do it. You're going to get an F. When we talk about Jesus Christ returning in the second coming during the days of the nation of Israel, that has to happen. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 36 to chapter 39, that's your homework. Chapters 36 to 39 of the book of Ezekiel speaks about a great, great recovery of the nation Israel. For 2,000 years, Israel has been dispersed through all the nations of the world. The Bible said they would. And the Bible says that before Christ would come back in the second coming, he would first of all gather together his people from the four corners of the earth and bring them back into their own land, Israel. He even calls it Israel in Ezekiel, written 3,650 years ago. He says, I'll bring them back into the land, their own land that I've given them. And not only that, it says that while they're in the land, they will come back in unbelief. Did you know Jews today say they believe in God, but they don't know their scriptures. They don't know the God that loves them. They don't know the God that has spoken to them. They don't understand him. They don't know him. Very few Jews even believe in him. But the Bible says that he would gather them back in unbelief. He's done that. The Bible says there in Ezekiel that the land would flourish and become very fruitful and productive. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I live in the most productive state of, I should say, let me put it this way. In California, we've got amazing dirt. We produce fruit for the world, fruit and vegetables for the world. Do you know who's number two in the world? Israel, a country the size of New Jersey. And the Lord said that in the last days, it would abound in its fruit. It would abound in its produce to the world. Up until 1948, it was a wasteland. God has been bringing that nation back together. No, everything's falling right into place. And the Bible spoke about that. It's amazing. But listen, everything, though it looks like it's falling apart, is coming into play and falling right into place. In Luke chapter 21, verse 26, the Bible says, Jesus spoke and said regarding the future, during that time, men's hearts will begin to fail them for fear. Heart attacks will be upon the face of men because of the expectation of those things coming upon the face of the earth. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the coming of the Son of Man in clouds and power and great glory. Now listen, he gives you a clue. Verse 28 of Luke 21, he says, now when you see these things begin to happen, the stirring of them, the awakening of them, Jesus says, look up, lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Amen. Man, I don't know about you, but that's awesome news. Jesus said, when all of this stuff's getting ready to come about, he tells the believer, look up, get ready. How awesome is that? He says, then it says there, he spoke this parable to them and he said, look at the fig tree. And for that matter, all trees. When they are already budding, you see and you know, for you yourselves recognize that summer is here. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
So listen, are you guys with me? I know this is, are you with me? Before Jesus Christ could come back in the second coming, I'm not talking about the rapture. The rapture could happen right now or right now. I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm talking about the second coming when he comes to establish his kingdom. Big difference. Before that happens, certain things have to take place. And I'm going to give you just a few of them. Number one, the world would first have to see the gospel of Christianity, the message of the good news, spread around the world. Well, that's happened. Number two, the world would have to first of all see a global advent of cults. Jesus said before he comes back, there'd have to be a bunch of cults running around the world deceiving people. Is that not happening? My goodness, you can't even count them all. The world would first of all have to see a global economic system of trade and commerce based upon a cashless system. I don't know about you, but I never carry cash. How do you do your transactions? Do you do, when you're doing internet transactions, do you use cash? You use numbers, don't you? The Bible says that before the second coming can happen, there's going to be a system of commerce that's numerical based only. You won't even touch the money. It will go from one account to another cashlessly. I just made that word up. Strategery, cashlessly. And that's how we buy things. Personally, I think it's a great system because for me, I travel a lot. So what I do is I spend money using the card, which gives me miles per dollar I spend. And then at the 30 days comes the bill, I just pay the bill. And I've gotten free money. $1, 1 mile. Sometimes $1, 2 miles. That's smart, as long as you pay it off at the end of the 30 days, right? So use the system. But here's the thing. The Bible talks about a time when this man called the Antichrist is going to come on the world scene, and he's going to take that cashless system, and he's going to put a prefix to the number, whatever the number. Maybe it's a PIN number that you and I have. Maybe it's a Social Security number. I don't know. Some bank number. I don't know. But listen how brilliant of an idea it is. He will demand a preface number to be put upon your life or my life or those who are living. He'll demand it, and the preface will be like your area code or like your zip code. But that number, the Bible tells us in Revelation 6, chapter 13, what it is. And that prefix is 666, and then your number. And nobody, the Bible says, will buy or sell in the world without the mark or the number or his name being 666. You say, Jack, you're kidding me. I'm not kidding you. 2,000 years ago, your Bible said that we'd see a cashless system of trade. And I want to suggest to you this morning that we are on the brink. Because when you see global terrorism, when you see human trafficking, when you see drug trafficking, all based upon money, there's no smarter way. Listen, you want to, here's a secret. It shouldn't be a secret. You want to stop terrorism? You don't have to drop bombs. You cut off the money flow. You want to stop prostitution? You don't blow up prostitutes, drop bombs on prostitutes. You stop the money flow. You want to stop drug trafficking? You don't blow up drug traffickers. You stop the money. Believe me, you stop the money. And the Bible knows this. God knows this. You put in a numerical system and stop the money, and now everyone's registered. You know who everybody is. On top of it, the Bible says that number will be in their right hand or on their forehead. Now you can track them. Amazing. Absolutely powerful. The Bible speaks of this stuff. That would have to happen. The Bible says that there'd be an increase in world wars and threats of wars. We're living in those days, but they're going to increase. The Bible talks about, listen, Jerusalem in Israel would become the most burdensome city of the world. Written 3,700 years ago, Jerusalem would be a burdensome city to the nations of the world. Is that not awesome? Every major world country and leader has to deal with whatever decisions they make, how will it affect their relationship with Israel, specifically Jerusalem, and what to do about Jerusalem. Jerusalem will probably be divided, and that's the beginning of the end. The world will first have to see violent racial divisions increasing around the world. That's happening. But by far the most important thing of all would be that the world would see a regathering of the nation of Israel back into its homeland. And that's what we're seeing. Also this, verse 31 teaches us that Israel would become the focus of attention around the world. In that day, he was on his housetop. That's all we need to read. That's Jewish terminology, Jewish words. Middle Eastern talk. None of us live on top of our roof. If you do, you probably had a fight with your wife. Nobody lives on the roof. In Israel, everybody lives on the roof. You cook inside, and it's about summer, you know, 10 months out of the year, and you go out and you eat on the patio on top of the roof. It's fantastic up there. It's very well decorated. They have, it's beautiful. Jesus said, listen, if you're on top of the roof, get down and get out of town. That's very, very localized, very, very specific. Isaiah 11:11 says, "It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again a second time to recover the remnant of his people Israel who are left. From Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar," he gives list, "even to the ends of the islands of the sea. He will set up a banner for the nations, and I will assemble," listen, "the outcast of Israel and gather them together, the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." You may not even be a believer in the Bible, and that's got to get your attention. Jews are going home to Israel, and they weren't even born there. Why? Because God said, "Before I come back, I'm going to bring them back into their own land." Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2. "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling to all the surrounding nations when they lay siege against it, Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day," that's that code word again, "in that day that I make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all the nations, and all who heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth be gathered against it." What should America's foreign policy be regarding Israel? Support Israel. On what grounds? On one ground. Only one ground. Genesis chapter 12. God said to Abraham, hey, Abraham, verse 1, "Now the Lord spoke to Abraham and said, get out of the country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make you a great name, and you shall be blessing. You shall be a blessing." And verse 3, "I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you as a nation." You want to know what America's foreign policy should be? It's not popular. It's going to become even more unpopular, but tough. That is, you support Israel. When a nation, do some homework. When a nation stops supporting Israel, watch what happens to that nation internally and externally. God says, he didn't ask us to agree with everything Israel does. He said, support Israel. You turn your back on Israel, you're turning your back on yourself. You don't mess with that. God says, don't mess with that. Foreign policy, it should always take into consideration first your defense and protection of Israel. He says in verse 32, "Remember Lot's wife." What a funny thing to say. Why do you want to remember Lot's wife? Anybody remember the story? The book of Genesis chapter 19. Remember the angels came and said, "Lot, you got to get out of town. We're going to fry this town." That doesn't mean party. They were going to blow the thing up. Let's go. And so Lot's trying to get his people out and he grabs his wife. I'm not kidding when I tell you this. You got to watch this though. He no doubt grabs her and they're heading out of town. And Genesis 19 says that as they were leaving the town, 19:26 says, "But his wife looked back behind her and she became, in an instant, she became a pillar of salt." God judged her on the spot. He said, man, what was that all about? The word in Hebrew is nabat. She looked back, nabat. You say, what's wrong with that? Here's what's wrong with it. She nabat back at Sodom and Gomorrah. The word means to look back with deep yearning, deep longing, high regard, to look or to stare at with pleasure or for longing. We would use the word today in English, she lusted for the town. When Lot was pulling her out, her heart was in Sodom and Gomorrah. She didn't belong with Lot. She didn't belong with the people of God. She wanted in that town. That's where her heart was. Have you ever seen that happen? Have you ever seen maybe You're grabbing your wife and you're saying, it's time to go. We've got to go. No, no, this is the Nordstrom's once a year sale. No, you've got to go. Come on quick before God judges it. Let's go. You've got to go. And you're pulling your wife to the parking lot and she looks back. That's it. She's longing. I've got to be there. I've got to go. Come on. Her heart belonged in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Jesus said, in the midst of all this, get out. Judgment's coming. Remember Lot's wife. And every Jew would have went, freak him out.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called, Is the Kingdom of God Near? Part 2. Thanks for taking the time to be with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, you guys, Pastor Jack here, and I want to encourage you because I know I'm like you. You're like me. Are you weary? Do you get wearied? Do you get tired? Does it feel at times that the wind has been knocked out of you? I think if we're all honest, we can admit that, man, yeah, being a Christian is not easy in this world. But I want to give you some Encouragement by virtue of the fact that Dr. Warren Wiersbe, a great author, a great pastor who's now in heaven, wrote a book called In Praise of Plodders. In Praise of Plodders. A plodder is somebody who just keeps going. And if you feel so worn down, maybe even apathetic, then you need this book. He will walk you through those seasons. Things just don't seem to be coming together. In Praise of Plodders, this current featured book, please get a copy of it today.
In Praise of Plodders by Warren Wiersbe. You can pick it up for a gift to the ministry of any amount by going to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.